25. And we'll have some prayer requests a little later. I know some that are out vacationing. And anyway, Matthew 25, I wanted to talk about the judgment of the nations. And so it's found in Matthew 25, starting about verse 31 is where we'll start and read about this particular judgment of the nation. Matter of fact, there's actually seven judgments all through the whole Bible. There's actually seven. There's the judgment of sin. Where the judgment of sin took place is at the cross. That's where God judged sin. And so that's the first judgment. The second judgment is where God judges us now as I'm a saved person. I'm not judged as a sinner. I'm judged as a son. So you've got the judgment of sin here. Now, in this age that I live today, I'm judged as a son, as a child of God. And then, after the rapture, the judgment seat of Christ, I'm judged as a servant. And then, at the end of all of this, there's the great white throne judgment, and that's where God judges the sinner. Now, I know that's only four. So there's one, two, three, four judgments right there. Well, there's three more. Here, the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation period, that's where God judges the nation of Israel. That's where the nation of Israel is judged for crucifying the Messiah and all that kind of thing. So God judges Israel here. Now there's two more. And the one is what we're going to talk about tonight is the judgment of the nations. And probably the judgment of the nations happens somewhere around where that X is. And we'll show you that here in just a few minutes and prove that. And then the other one and the last one is the judgment of angels, where God's going to judge angels. Now, we've had a study of the angels, don't have time to go into all of that. But when you say judgment of angels, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, I thought all the angels are good. Well, you have to remember, there's a section that are bad, the fallen angels. Those fallen angels will be judged. So there's actually seven in the Bible, and we're going to deal with this one tonight. Look at verse number 31, and let's read about the judgment of the nations. Verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now, let me pause and just by reading that one verse, you should already have your bearings on where we're at. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and sits on the throne of his glory, that's in the kingdom, the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ, after the tribulation, that's basically when this takes place, right before all of this takes place. So verse 31 will tell you about where that's at. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, watch, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Inherit. Inherit what? Inherit the kingdom. Gives you another inkling of where this is taking place. Now look at verse 35. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, fed thee, thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we yet a stranger, or thee a stranger, and took thee in, naked, clothed thee? Or when saw we the sick, or prison, came unto thee? Verse 40, and the king, notice king is capitalized, shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Notice Jesus, the king, talks about his brethren. Now, that is a key. Now, you don't have to answer out loud. You can if you know, but I don't want you to be embarrassed if you're wrong. But who would be Jesus Christ's brethren? It would be, let's narrow her down. John 1:11. He came into his own. His own received him not. Who crucified Jesus? The Jews. The Jews, Jesus Christ, what nationality was he? A Jew. So his brethren would be Jewish brethren. So this is what he's talking about. The king shall answer and say to me, verily, verily, I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand. Now the goat nations are on the left hand. Depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now here's something you can get out of verse 41. Notice hell was never prepared for people to go there. And, you know, people say, well, I can't believe God would send anybody to hell. Hell was never created for people to go there. Notice what the verse says. And cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for who? The devil and his angels. The angels we were just referring to just a few minutes ago, the fallen angels. Verse 42. For I was a-hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, Lord, when saw we that a hunger, a thirst, a stranger, naked, sick, in prison, did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment for the righteous, but the righteous, into life eternal. Now, here is the judgment of the nations. At the end of the tribulation, the Son of Man is going to come in his glory. He's going to sit on his throne as Father David. That's been the whole purpose, the whole thing to be from beginning. Revelation 19, I saw heaven open, behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him is called faithful and true, right? So he's a judge, make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had his name written, and no man knew but he himself. And on his vesture and thigh, the word of God, and King of kings and Lord of lords. And that's what he's coming to do, to sit on the throne of his father David. But before all of this takes place, there's going, when he comes and sits down on that temple mount in Jerusalem, he's going to sit down. He's going to gather all the nations together. All the nations, not the Jews, Gentile nations. How have you treated the nation of Israel through the tribulation? Notice, goat nations, sheep nations. The sheep nations, while we were reading, you probably picked up on, I was hungered. You gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to put on. So on and so forth. Now, if you just read that, the judgment of the nations. Now watch this. This is how important rightly dividing the Bible is. If you just read that, it would almost appear like, if you didn't know that went there, you would think, all right, the way to get to heaven is to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give water to the thirsty, you know, people in prison, go visit them, and I get to go to heaven. That's what it said, right? But if you don't know where it goes, you see how a lot of people have y'all ever noticed, you ask somebody on the street, hey, you going to heaven? Oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven. How you know? Well, I'm good to the poor. I give. I'm nice to people. That's where they get that from. It has nothing to do with us over here in this age at all. It has to do with how they treated the brethren, the Jews, in the nation, in the tribulation period. And now, let me show you a verse. And we read this the last time we were together. This is found in Genesis chapter 12, the starting of the nation of Israel. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into the land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. He's fixing up. This is the start of the nation of Israel. I will bless thee. Make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. Watch this verse. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That verse right there goes right along with Matthew 25. I was a hungered. You gave me meat. You blessed me. I was a thirst. You gave me something to drink. You blessed me. I was naked. You clothed me. You blessed me. And cursed, and curse him that curses thee. All right? If you don't feed the Jew, if you don't give him drink in the tribulation, if you don't clothe him and help him, you'll be cursed. You'll be a goat nation. All right? Now, when I say this, I'm not talking to y'all, because I'm hoping that y'all are all saved like I am, and we're going up right here. We're going to skip the tribulation, and we're going to come back with him at the second coming and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. So we're going to skip all this. So when I say you, I'm not really talking about you. I'm talking about those that are left behind, those nations. Think about it. What's going on right now? We just got, I guess they about come to an agreement and they about quit shooting fireworks at everybody. But Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, all in, we're firing on who? So who would you say? Those are goat nations, you know. Now, America at this particular time, we would be considered a sheep nation because we have always held hands with the Jew. We've always been friends with them. But now Russia don't like them. China sure don't like them. Iran, Iraq really don't like them. There's not many countries over there, if any, in the Middle East that like and want to ally with the nation of Israel. They hate God's people. That's why this is so important. And it has to do with the tribulation. Now, am I saying that we're not supposed to be good to the nation of Israel? No. I still say we, as Americans, we still get a special blessing for befriending them and all of that. But as far as Matthew 25 is concerned, and as far as Genesis 12:3 is concerned, all of this is concerning how we've treated, when I say we, again, I'm not talking about you because we're going up here. I'm talking about we as an America, Americans, how America treats the nation of Israel in the tribulation. Because guess what? America will go through the tribulation. Saved people of America will leave out. Saved people of China will leave out. Saved people in Iraq will leave out. You understand? But the nation itself is still going to have people in it that's unsaved that's going to go through the tribulation period. What are they going to inherit when they get over here? It all depends on how they treated the nation of Israel based upon the judgment of the nations. Naked, you clothed me. I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, whatever. Didn't have a place to stay, you took me in. All of that is this right here. But if you didn't know where that went, you would look at that and just read that like I've heard so many preachers do, and they say, all right, you want to go to heaven? You got to feed the poor. So this is what we have in America going on today. Churches have stopped preaching the gospel and started feeding the poor. Now, is it okay? Now, pause before somebody just cuts the wrist watching the video. Is it okay for the church to feed the poor? Sure. Is it okay for us to help somebody pay their electric bill? Sure. But our main job and concern is to preach the gospel to people. If you want to feed the poor along the way, that's great. Give them the gospel while you feed them. If you want to give them something to drink, that's wonderful. Get them a load of groceries, but give them the gospel on your way to Kroger. You understand? Our job, and so the church today, based upon this, have went to a social gospel. Be good to your neighbor, feed everybody, love everybody, you know, mow everybody's yard, and you'll make it into heaven, because that's what Matthew 25 says. Well, if you got to rightly divide, where does that belong? It belongs over here, not over here. You see how important that is. Now, have you ever wondered about this verse? And this verse is actually talking about us. I tell you what, before I do that, I want to go to Joel chapter 3. Now, before you try, I can punch this up before you find Joel in the Old Testament. Joel 3, two verses. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them for my people and for my heritage, Israel, and so on and so forth, and for whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. That's, boy, I got so much I could tell you right now about parting the land. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. Anyway, the valley of Jehoshaphat, does that sound familiar to anybody? The Valley of Jehoshaphat is where the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. So this verse proves that we are on the right track. If you didn't get it by the wording, the Son of Man comes in his glory, sits on the throne of his glory, if you didn't get it by that, you can get it by Joel 3 and verse number 2, down in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, right here. The Lord's second coming, Battle of Armageddon. That's when the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're following him on white horses. And there, the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of Megiddo, you'll hear that term used in the Old Testament. This is where David and Goliath went to battle. Isn't that significant? The Valley of Jehoshaphat, that's where David and Goliath. Now, get the picture. David kills Goliath in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. King David kills Goliath in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. King Jesus takes care of the Antichrist, Goliath, in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. The Battle of Armageddon. And then the judgment of the nations takes place. Joel chapter 3. Now, have you ever wondered about this verse? And it's found in 1 Corinthians. Now, watch. 1 Corinthians. Where's 1 Corinthians found? Over here. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 6, I think it is, verse 2 and 3. Do you not know that the saints, that's us, saints, shall judge the world? Did y'all know you're going to be able to judge the world? When are you going to judge the world? Well, get the picture, watch. Who's coming back with Jesus? We are, white horses. We're coming down, we won't have to fight the Battle of Armageddon. I didn't take my medicine today. My mind's running faster than my tongue can get out there. I'm fixing to start speaking in tongues in a minute. Anyway, King Jesus is coming. We're coming with him. We're not going to have to fight. He's going to do all the work, you know, the word of his mouth and the sharp two-edged sword, and there we go. And then we are going to rule and reign with him. So, who's going to be with him? The judge of the nations, saints, help him judge the world. The world, nations, sheep nations, goat nations. And if it don't get any better than that, if the world shall be judged by you and you are unworthy to judge the smallest matter, know ye not that we shall judge angels. So at the judgment of angels, we're going to be able to judge those fallen angels. Isn't that something? So if you ever run across this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and say, wonder what that's talking about. Well, now you know, you can place it over here that if we're ruling and reigning with Christ, we'll be judging with him, if that makes sense. Judge the world, judge angels. And that's what that verse is talking about. Now let me get to Let me give you an example of Matthew 25, Judgment of the Nations. I hope America, you know, I know I'm leaving out here, and you are too if you're saved, but I hope America will still stick with the nation of Israel. I hope they will. I don't know. Have no idea. It's an odd thing that you really don't, unless you really work really hard and really twist and turn, you really can't find America in the book of Revelation. I don't know what happens to her. I don't know. Now, you know, you've got eagle's wings over there, and I've heard people, you know, say, well, the mascot or what the bird, our bird is the eagle, you know, and so America, that's America. And you have to really twist and turn to get America in Revelation. That might be us. I have no idea. But it's just odd that you can pick out Russia, you can pick out China, you can pick out all these other, Assyria and all of those, you can pick out all those plainly in the book of Revelation, but it's very hard to pick out where America is. Don't know. But I do know this, there's going to be nations that are for them and nations that are against them, and the nations that are for them are the sheep nations, and the nations that are against them will be the goat nations, and that's where they'll be tried. And the whole basis is how you took care of them has nothing to do with your salvation here. I'm saved by grace, through faith, by trusting the cross of Jesus Christ. Should I give to the poor? Sure. Should I feed and give the somebody that's thirsty or somebody some clothes or somebody a place to stay for the night? Sure. But not because I'm trying to do that so I can get to go to heaven. I'm going to heaven whether I ever feed the poor or not. But because I am saved, I ought to want to, you see. But here, it's totally different in these nations. Now, let me give you an example. Hopefully, this will draw it together and clear it up for you. I couldn't put it on the screen. There's too much to read. If you want to go with me to Joshua, I want to read Joshua, a story here in Joshua. I've been wanting to preach on it, but I hadn't got to it yet. And it's a story about a lady by the name of Rahab. Y'all remember a story by the name of Rahab the harlot? Well, in Joshua's day, let me give you the background while we read. We're going to read Joshua chapter 6, not the whole chapter, but just a portion of it. Joshua chapter 6. Moses, they get ready to go in the land. He sends out 12 spies. Two of those spies were Caleb and Joshua. Notice we're reading in Joshua. Joshua and Caleb were two of the spies. So they're going in to spy out the land. They have enemies. They're going to attack Jericho and take it over. But before they do, they go in to spy out the land. Well, there's a lady that they knock on her door. Her name's Rahab the harlot. She takes them in. Caleb and Joshua are Jews. Rahab's a Gentile. So here comes these guys from the city of Jericho, says, hey, they're going around knocking on the door. Hey, have you seen these two guys? They're spying our land. We got enemies in the camp. And they go around to Rahab. Rahab says, I ain't seen them. And they're upstairs in her attic. And then after nightfall, Rahab lets a cord out of her window, the scarlet cord, and they climb down the window and escape. And they said, when we come, all right, you remember the story? Two chapters later, they're marching around the walls of Jericho. Day one, march around one time. Day two, they march around one time. I'm not going to do that because I'll get dizzy. Three, march around one time. Four, five, six, one time a day. On the seventh day, they marched around the walls of Jericho seven times that day. And on that seventh trip around, the priest started blowing the shofar. And when they blow, the walls come tumbling down. Remember that? And Caleb and Joshua told Rahab, they said, you hang that scarlet cord out your door, out your window, same one you let us down by. And my men will know when the walls come down, you're to be protected, and you're going into the promised land with us. Because you took care of the Jew. It's a perfect example of Matthew 25. Now, I just basically told you the whole story, but it's found in Joshua chapter number 6. Look at verse 14, if you're there. And the second day, they compassed the city once and returned to camp. So they did for 6 days. All right? One time a day for 6 days. Verse 15. It came to pass on the seventh day, they rose up early from the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass the seventh time when the priest blew the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that were therein. Unto the Lord, only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that was with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. You see that? That's the perfect Old Testament. And I've tried to teach you all this on Wednesday night, not that I have acclaimed or know everything, but these Old Testament stories are always, yes, they're Old Testament stories. Daniel lies then, Noah in the flood, Jonah and the whale. All of those stories are good kids' stories for Sunday school, but every one of them point to something in the future. Just like Rahab. Rahab was a Gentile. But she took care of that Jew, and when the walls, when the trumpet blowed and the walls come tumbling down, whoever took care of that Jew will be to inherit the kingdom. That makes sense? So that's a perfect example of what that means about in Matthew 25. Now again, I just want to clarify. I'm not trying to repeat myself because I ain't got anything else to say. I want to clarify because sometimes my pronouns get mixed up. We're going up right here, the church, the saved people, right here. We're going out at the rapture. We're going to bypass the nation of it, or the tribulation. We're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. We've got to do that. Be judged as a servant, judgment seat of Christ. We're coming back with him on a white horse. We'll rule and reign with him for 1,000 years in the kingdom. We'll take part in the judgment of the nations. We'll take part in the judgment of angels. And all of that. We'll rule and reign with him for 1,000 years and so on and so forth. What that has to do with is everybody that's left behind in this section right here. Now, here's a question that people have asked before. The Battle of Armageddon. And excuse me, when you read the Battle of Armageddon in Revelation, it's found 16. It's found in a couple other places in Revelation. When you read the Battle of Armageddon, it looks like, man, when the Lord comes, man, he wipes out the whole earth, right? Well, then you're thinking, well, if he wipes out the whole earth, who's he judging here? If he wiped out the whole earth in the Battle of Armageddon, who's left to be judged, you see? Now think. This is what cleared it up for me. America can go to battle. We just had our boys over there, our men and women, the armed service over there, what, in Iraq? Forever. What's the last war we had? Afghanistan. I stayed right here in America. Right? I didn't go fight. I stayed right here. So the Battle of Armageddon is a military thing. So there are going to be people left in these nations that will still be able to be judged at the judgment of the nations. Does that make sense? When you read it in the Bible, you're like, man, he kills everybody. Who's left? And you have to put yourself in the situation. America can go to battle, and I'm still here in Millsville. You understand? So, now, there is something I wanted to... It's a sort of off topic, but I guess really it's not. The nation of Israel just had some elections. They just had some elections, I think, back in March. And the way that Israel is set up is very similar to America. You know, you elect a president. We call a president. They call a prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. And then the midterms, I guess you could say, which was just here recently, they have about 120 members. They call them something else. Let me just call them Congress, okay? And so there's 120 new members coming into this Congress. What they're trying to do is overthrow Benjamin Netanyahu. They don't want him to be prime minister no more. They've already selected another prime minister that they're going to want to take his place. This Senate vote, it's not called that, I'm just saying a Senate vote, so we'll all understand what we're talking about. This Senate vote is supposed to take place on the 14th. Today's what, the 9th or something? It's supposed to take place on the 14th, deciding. And this new regime of government includes the nation of Israel and the Muslim nations come together and make a two-state. In other words, you'll have the nation of Israel, and they'll give up they'll give out a portion of this, and it will be a two-state solution, and the Palestinians, all of that. And this is what they want to do. And to do that, they have to overthrow Benjamin Netanyahu, because he's definitely not for it. So they've got this other guy going to come in. If they can pass this vote in their Senate, and matter of fact, if you can, well, you can't read that. Benjamin Netanyahu out as Israel forms first ever government coalition. Deal with Muslim party setting the stage for the arrival of Antichrist. A new government coalition with United Arab, United Leader, whatever his name is, Abbas, has been formed in Israel, prepared, so on and so forth. This guy is, they call him, well, I can't remember what his name is, but this guy, and you can't see this, but this is Daniel chapter 11. If you remember Daniel chapter 11, when we were talking about the book of Daniel, we were talking about the book of, in Daniel chapter 11, we were talking about the he-goat and the ram. And we talked about that one little horn that was going to be the Antichrist that come from, does anybody remember? This one little horn, it comes from Assyria. Judas was an Assyrian Jew. This guy is an Assyrian Jew. Muslim, Jew, come together and set it up for the Antichrist. I'm not saying he's the Antichrist. I'm saying that thing is being set up that way. Now, will it happen? I don't know. They'll vote on it on the 14th. To see if this new government's going to pass. But if it does, it speeds things up. It's still going to happen either way. This would speed it up. It's like I told people about, the election of the president. This is coming. This is coming. This is coming no matter who the president is, okay? But it all depends on who the president is, how fast this shows up. You got some presidents that would slow some of this down, and by that I mean pro-Israel, all of that kind of thing. We're in a situation right now to... Anyway, I don't even think he knows where Israel is. Okay? That's why he's having to send somebody else over there. Anyway, don't get me hotter on the collar about that. Well, he needs to stay over there with the bear of the north. Anyway, but this was interesting that I read today about this all taking place. I don't know. Have no idea. But, and that sort of ties in what we've been talking about. But I hope this helps. When you're talking about judgment of the nations, I hope we've explained it in a way that'll help you understand a little better tonight.